Mayor's Honor is here. City of Racine Mayor Corey Mason. Always good to see you.
Always glad to be here.
You make me look a slob. You got a nice jacket with shirt and tie, and I'm dressed in Fruit of the Looms. And
well, you're on radio, though. You can get away with that.
Yeah, good. Well, good to see you again.
Likewise.
Now, nothing's broken on you now. Your window's repaired.
Yeah.
Your arm is good.
Everything's working.
Good. Always like to hear that.
My shoelaces are tied. You know, good things are happening.
Did you look? Just make sure. Okay, before we get to anything here on the list, I get it because I'll forget. I was talking to, there's some trucks, not owned by the city, but it's only a private company, inspecting the sewer lines on Main Street. And they've been out there, and they don't really block much of just the center of the street, right. So they keep traffic flowing. And the guy out there, Willie, was explaining to me, I went, what are you doing? And he said, okay, here's what I'm doing. He said, there's another guy at the other end there, and we're examining the sewer pipe.
Right.
And if we have to make repairs, we make repairs. And if we could do it, you won't have to dig up the streets.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so either, you know, with big pipes that we might have, but even smaller ones, we will send people in. We contract with a company to do this. The utilities do. And we will do that, or sometimes we'll put cameras, closed circuit cameras into the pipes and take a look at it and look for leaks. And then if we can repair them underground, it extends the life of the infrastructure and we don't have to rip up the street to
move
do
that it. Microphone closer to you.
Right.
I don't want to miss anything you have to say.
Sure.
Everything's very important. Okay.
All right.
Okay, now another question. I noticed on 16th Street, the barricades went up. What are they doing on 16th?
There's some utility work that they've got to do underground. So they'll rip up the space there and replace some water and wastewater utilities. They're doing that.
Do you ever see in the future of this city all the lines going underground? Like in New York City, there's no power lines. They're all underground.
Oh, that's a great question.
I know. That's why
that
I asked
is it. A very expensive endeavor. I mean, we're building the new community center on Martin Luther King, all those, you know, because we're putting in a big facility there and building 40 new houses there, those power lines are going underground. And there are opportunities on occasion when you do a big road project, they'll say, you know, do you want to bury these
lines? I know,
lines?
It's
expensive.
Yeah, I know, it's time consuming. And
you have to wait for each utility to sort of sign off on it. So it's not just the electrical, it's like it's Spectrum and then it's AT&T. So it is a long and expensive process to do it. But when it's done, I mean, you look at sort of the before and afters when you see, you know, those poles all go away and you get a better view shed of the sky and the street. Boy, it's really nice to do. But that is something that'll take decades before we get it all done.
You know, if you look at old pictures of New York City, there are wires everywhere, poles. Yeah. You look at it now, there's not one pole, not one wire in all of New York City.
All underground.
They got it done. Okay, the other question is, I know it's a county road, but it's still, it may be Mount Pleasant. What's going on in Spring Street?
The part is, in Spring Street, again, it's underground utility work that they're doing.
But they're chopping down all the trees.
They are. They've got to do that to get at the right-of-way to be able to bury the work. So it's not our jurisdiction, it's Mount Pleasant.
I know.
So I'm not 100% on all the details, but usually when they're taking trees down, it has to do with what they've got to do underground.
I got to get Melissa Caprillion in here. She's at County Road. That's her jurisdiction.
Yeah, there you go. She might know the answer.
Yeah, we'll get her in here. Okay, let's talk about some other things going on here. First of all, things that aren't negative. These are all positive things. You got the youth employment program.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the Yeppers. Yeah, so we have opportunities for people to do paid internships in the city of Racine. So if you are 16 to 24 years old and you live in the city and you want to explore what it might be like to pursue a career in public service, we've got opportunities for people to do that. We'll take 60 young people and assign them in city departments so they can see if they want to pursue a career in police or fire or, you know, if they want to do civil engineering or road construction, we have projects for that. If they want to, you know, if they're interested in environmental science and want to test the water at the water utility, we have internships for that. A lot of great opportunities for young people to get involved.
Yeah.
It's been great. What's been wonderful from it, too, is we then wind up hiring a number of these young people when they finish college or they're ready to go. So we've already hired a couple dozen people already coming out of this program to be full-time city employees. And that's what we want. We want, you know, for the city jobs, we want to expose city residents to those opportunities. And you know, these are usually good-paying jobs with benefits. And so we want to extend those opportunities to our residents and let young people explore a career in public service. So we're excited about that.
It is very good.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Okay, next up. Talk about the Harry Waite trial and the verdict. Now, this was the guy who did fake ballots.
He did.
And he said it was just, he was testing the waters to see if it was, you know, we can catch him. Well, they caught him.
Yes, he robbed the bank to see if he could rob the bank, essentially, is the metaphor, right? So, yeah, I mean, he decided, this is almost 4 years ago now, that he was going to pretend to be both me and Robin Voss and ask that those ballots be mailed to his home. Mine wound up being there. They thankfully intercepted it. But it's, I mean, it's a really, you know, really, really unfortunate and dangerous thing for somebody to try to steal somebody else's ballot. And so he argued, or his lawyer argued, that it was, you know, just a hoax or not a real thing. But the jury disagreed and found him guilty on 3 of the 4 counts.
You still did it.
Oh, he absolutely did it.
Yeah, whether it was a hoax or not, you did it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was the hard part for, I think, the jury to get around. It was like, yeah, but you still did the crime. You pretended to be these other people. You asked that the ballots be sent there, and you did it. And so, you know, it's a little bit sad because I think he's stuck in some of the conspiracy theory that some of the, you know, hot government local folks are really animated about. But there's this belief, this misbelief that there's something terribly amiss happening in our elections. And so, you know, he tried to prove a point by pretending to be two other people and trying to steal their ballots, and the jury found him responsible.
I found that it's like people want to commit the perfect crime. If one person knows about it, maybe you can do it. Two people, you can never do it. And the same thing with elections. If there was some kind of election fraud, they'd all be talking about it. The actual people at the elections would say, listen, look when I found it, but they don't do that.
Yeah.
And it's tend to be the losers that tend to claim election fraud.
I will say, we do have, you know, poll watchers or observers who come in every election, and a lot of them come up from Illinois or other places. And, you know, usually they're not even people from our community, but they come in because they've been convinced by somebody that something terribly amiss is happening. And then, you know, they'll sit there and watch it, and they're just sort of like, there's nothing amiss going on here. But they're, you know, they're concerned. And so, I mean, I think it is an unfortunate thing. Look, I mean, free and fair elections are a critically important part of our democracy. And, you know, despite what some people might believe, they're very well run, and the arguments about fraud just don't turn out to be true.
Didn't they have some guy here in Wisconsin? They paid him a lot of money. I vaguely remember during the one of the presidential elections, and it was his job to dig in Wisconsin and look for fraud. They paid him a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
The state paid him money.
Mark Gableman?
Yes, that's him.
Yeah, the former.
He never find. They didn't find anything.
He did not. This is the guy who, he's the former Supreme Court justice who was convinced that there was fraud after the 2022 elections. Threatened at one point to put 5 mayors in jail.
Were you one of them?
I was one of them.
Oh.
Yeah. But he was absolutely convinced that there was this terrible fraud going on. It was terrible that we were trying to make it safe for people to vote during COVID and, you know, had to do distancing and let people, you know, sign in, almost like drive-through voting that we did just to keep people separate. But it was really innovative work that a lot of communities did around the state. There was also the Dropbox conspiracy, if you remember. There was that conspiracy that turned out not to be true at all. But, yes, former Justice Gableman was a sad post career from the bench. He really bought into the conspiracy theories. He also made an appearance at the Harry Waite trial. I'm told that he actually stopped in to watch part of the trial. So he represented Harry Waite for an initial part, if I remember correctly. So an unfortunate thing. I think sometimes people get so consumed by their narrative of what they believe to be true, they have a hard time separating fact from their own conspiracies.
His Honor, City of Racine Mayor Curry Mason is here. I say Curry. Corey Mason is here. I got to retire.
No, you're doing great.
Okay, let's go down our list here of things we want to talk about. The City of Racine Easter Egg Hunt. What's this about?
Yeah, we're going to do an Easter Egg Hunt over in one of the parks, but it's an exciting opportunity for kids to take advantage of it. Our Parks Department does a great job of putting this together, and the kids really love it. So if you get a chance, I believe it's at Humble Park. So if you get a chance to participate in that, that would be great.
Pierce Woods?
Pierce Woods.
Pierce Woods Park.
Which is right next to Humble. I used to live over there on West Lawn, and we didn't call it Pierce Woods. We just called the whole thing Humble. But it is actually Pierce Woods Park.
April 2nd.
Yeah.
Okay.
April 2nd.
All right. The sump pump program. And I got a sump pump story for you.
All right.
Go ahead.
So this is a great opportunity we have. You were talking about those, you know, inspections underground. One of the things that we really try to avoid is getting too much water into our wastewater system when we have heavy rains. And it turns out we have a lot of houses that don't have sump pumps. And instead of doing big infrastructure projects that cost millions and millions of dollars, one of the cheaper things that we can do to keep the rainwater out of the wastewater system is to offer people sump pumps. A lot of people have floor drains that just go right into the system if you have a house that was built before, I believe, 1955. And so with the utility funds that we have that everybody pays into, if you have a home that's before 1955, you can get a sump pump at no charge to the homeowner. And it helps keep your basement dry. So it means when there's rain events, you're less likely to get water. So it's a great program and a great benefit to city residents. And if you are interested in that, you should give our offices a call, and we will set somebody up to come and put a sump pump in your basement.
That's a great idea.
At no charge. Yeah.
So back in the 90s, I lived in Brown Deer. It's north of Milwaukee. And we had 9 inches of rain one morning.
Yeah.
That's a lot of rain. The interstate, there is a... an underpass there on I-43. It was totally underwater. Two cars were under there. You could barely see them, but you could see the oil dripping up.
Ooh.
And they were on, everybody's looking at these two cars now. The people got out, but they're totally underwater. That's how much rain we had. And my house was sitting in a little sort of bowl, so all the water was coming in, and my sump pump couldn't keep up with it. Water was coming into the basement, and the sump pump was running. So I ran to Menards. And as soon as they opened up, everybody was out there trying to grab sump pumps. They're, where are the sump pumps? I knew where they were. And I grabbed one. I ripped a hole in the screen window in my basement. I put the second sump pump in there. Now, it wouldn't fit, so I had to hold it. I told my daughter, take this hose and run it out to the culvert now.
Yeah.
Because we got to stop this water. So I found a way to have both sump pumps in there running. And they were running. We averted the tragedy, but it's a lot of water.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they were popping through the walls in the basement, and I used chewing gum to plug it up temporarily. Just keep the water from coming in. I had to think on your feet real quick.
Yeah, well, I can promise listeners that if they engage in the sump pump program, it will not involve ripping screens or bubble gum. it'll be done professionally by plumbers who know what they're doing.
It worked, though. All right, let's talk about this. Let's address the ballot omission for the April 7th election.
Yeah, so every year the county prints the ballots that people use when they go to vote. This year they left off the municipal judge race. So it's an unopposed race Rob Weber is running for unopposed for re-election. But nonetheless, they got to fix the ballot. So the county is reprinting the ballots, and we are hoping to remedy that mistake so that when people come to vote, they will get the correct ballot. So if you've been mailed a ballot to your home and you're going to bring it in, they might ask you to fill out a new ballot that has a full and complete list. But it's a little bit frustrating. The city doesn't get to print its own ballots. We have to rely on the county. And the county in this case just forgot to put one of the elections on the ballot.
Do we know the person?
Do we know the person
who screwed up?
So Wendy Christensen's the clerk. It is her job to print the ballots.
Oh, poor Wendy. That's... Hey, that's it. You know, you try to do the best. You check all your boxes off, and then boom, you forget one thing.
Yeah, I mean, so thankfully, it's an unopposed race, right? So in that regard, you know, the consequences of it not being on there are less dire. But yeah, it is certainly an omission. We'd certainly like to see a position where the city, if you're a city of a certain size, if we could just print our own ballots so we can double check it and proof it before we get them. But yes, they are being reprinted and by the county, and hopefully we will be able to remedy the mistake long before Election Day. But if you've been mailed a ballot and you come in to drop it off, we might ask you to just fill out a different one to make sure it's correct. If you've mailed one in already, we've been told by the Elections Commission that your ballot will still count.
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
It doesn't. It doesn't, except that it's an incomplete ballot.
So. Yeah, okay. Now, let's talk about the YMCA site. Anything new?
Nothing new there. I mean, we have people looking at it, but I want to make sure you're talking about the YMCA site on Lake Avenue, because there's several former Ys.
The one they knocked down.
Yeah. But we do have a few developers that are looking at it and tell us there might be some proposals forthcoming, but so far we haven't seen anything definitive. But, you know, we think it's an exciting site for sure.
Anything new coming up that we should know about? Did we cover it all?
The Community Center Health Clinic is really coming along.
One more thing. Go ahead.
If you look at the community center itself, it's great, but you also notice there's 32 townhomes that are being built around the community center. So that's going to be kind of a new neighborhood that's around there. And so we're really excited about that. And so it's going to be 32 new homes that'll be owner-occupied in that neighborhood. So we're quite excited about what that'll look like.
And this is kind of a tragedy, but the Cesar Chavez Center,
yeah,
they have to change his name. He was involved, for people who don't know. It came to light that he was an abuser, and the people finally, you know, he's been dead a while.
Yeah, since 93, I believe.
And of his wife, or the woman who was with him for all those years on the protest, she was one of the people that said, yes, I was abused. And once you do that.
Yeah, if people read the full New York Times article, it's horrific. I mean, it's really, it's not just Dolores Huerta that he, you know, raped and then had she actually had a child and then gave up the child. It was terrible. But it came about from women coming forward who said, you know, he sexually assaulted me when I was 12, 13, 15 years old. And it was multiple women. So it's a horrific story if you read the New York Times article. And it's so hard because he's been a figure of, you know, of civil rights and union rights and, you know, a Latino icon in this country for decades. And so to see somebody who was held in such high regard, who did some good work in other spaces, do such terrible things, just really.
And then his name is tarnished forever. And
it is.
You have to get
it
off everything.
Yeah. So we've taken his name off the building. So if you drive past what was the Chavez Center, you will not see his name on the building.
So what's it going to be called now?
We're going to meet with Latino leaders and say what would be an appropriate alternative. I've proposed, because other cities are doing this, and, you know, this is actually Angelina Cruz's suggestion, her local state representative, that maybe naming it the Dolores Huerta Community Center would be a
Who worked with him,
Oh,
that's a good idea.
And was there for all the marches and all the things. So, you know, maybe we should honor that legacy with her name. People have lots of ideas of what it might be. So what we want to do is just work with a group of local Latino leaders and ask them to come up with a suggestion. But it'll take a little bit of time to get through. It'll go to be referred to the council on the 20th, and then we would vote on it sometime in May if we can reach consensus. But it's a sad end to what was an important legacy for Latino rights and workers' rights. And
the sad part is, this is probably about a lot of famous people, and we just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
It'll come out someday, and then we'll find out.
Well, it is the hard part about, you know, deifying historical figures is, you know, you always find out they're, you know, people are imperfect. But the revelations about Cesar Chavez were just devastating. And so it just doesn't make sense to continue to have a building named in his honor.
Thank you, Mayor, for coming in.
Yeah, my pleasure.
His honor. We're seeing Mayor Corey Mason. Thanks for coming in.